Podcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. We are presented by Bosque Home Services. Carlos and his team provide heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. Call 444-7200, Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. I want to remind men in our community, you're all invited out to Legacy Church, their East Campus. That is located at 4701 Wyoming Boulevard Northeast. They have a free breakfast, and men are welcome to take their children. It's from 8 o'clock a.m. to 9:30 a.m. tomorrow morning, Legacy Church, East Side Campus. And we are honored now to be joined on the program by Congressman Steve Pierce, the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico. Steve Pierce, thank you for being with us today. There's so much going on in the state. You may have heard that I just invited everybody over to Legacy Church East Side Campus for a men's breakfast tomorrow. It's absolutely free. And I was going to say, you know, in the church, I love it because there is such thing as free breakfast and free lunch. But that's not true in politics, is it?
It's not true. Every time that you think that you've got it set up to where you're giving the people something for free or you're getting something for the government for free, it's never free. And the idea of knowing what things cost is probably the most important lesson in life, but also in politics. What's it going to cost? That should be the key question on every policy issue when the voters are listening to all of these things that they're going to get. For instance, they're going to get this $1,400, maybe $1,440 stimulus payment, but what is it costing? It's costing their kids $1.9 trillion. They're only getting a small sliver, less than 10%, actually going to people in that stimulus, but they've now got to pay for the other 90% of the, it's just surely payoff to their big supporters that $1.9 trillion is being spent for. And so $190 million or so going to the people, the rest of it going to bail out states that have mismanaged themselves, all blue states, going to bail out pension funds that are paying more for people to be retired than what most New Mexicans make. And so New Mexicans are going to be paying taxes to pay for retirees who are making $100,000, $125,000 a year in retirement in other states. And so that's a bulk of the program right there.
Yeah, so the whole $1.9 million is not just money going out to help people in terms of what we call the stimulus package. There's all kinds of pork built into it.
There is, and one of the more offensive things that is built into that is that everyone knows they're getting the $1,400 payment. What they don't know is that if you work for the federal government, if you're a member of the union with the federal government, that you're going to get 15 of those $1,400 checks. So you're going to get $21,000 if you work for the federal government. And that's just offensive. And it's part of the pork there. The unions, the school unions are getting massive payoffs in this, trying to convince them to go back to school. I'm sorry, we're paying them to teach school. They should be there. There's no health reason, no science reason to keep people out of the schools. And yet, in many areas, it's not the teachers. The teachers themselves would gladly go back. They know their kids need the in-person learning, but the unions are insisting that they're not going back. Our governor finally felt enough public pressure that she overruled the unions, but it was too long coming. We've lost a year of our kids' lives, maybe even up to 2 years, in some cases, and it's just, you can't replace those years in an educational system that is taking place at our school-age children.
Congressman, I'm on the air because of my engineer, Steve Ryman. So I've got two Steves here on the program, and I'm going to have Steve ask you a quick question. It's kind of an overriding question. I thought it was interesting when he found out that you were going to be on the program with us today. I'd like him to ask you, and it really has to do with the integrity of our elections. Steve Ryman, are you there?
I am. Thanks for joining us, Congressman. I assume you can hear me.
I can.
Okay, so I would say that I'm probably a fairly well-informed layperson. I like to think I am, but I also know that I have to question the sources that I'm watching for news and information. But when I look forward to, well, I guess my question is twofold. One, Could you touch on the importance of local election? And I say that based on the local officials that had an impact on our last presidential election. And two, whether it's a local election or the next federal election in 2 years, in spite of the fact that I'm going to be there, my dad served in the military and I was raised, you know, to vote, because, the men and women that fought to give us that privilege to vote, I guess make me feel better about, when I go and vote that I have any reason to think that my vote counts and counts how I intended it to be counted.
Well, first of all, you bring up two of the most important concepts for a republic, of government of the people, by the people, and for the people. The basis of that entire concept are elections that are free and fair and counted properly. Each person gets one vote, but they don't get more than one vote. And that is the foundation of our republic, and it's greatly under assault right now. So your first question about the importance of local elections, when things are managed from the federal level, understand that that it will not be good for any of us. Take a look at the school systems. When we had schools that were controlled by local school boards, then your curriculum was pretty well established. People knew what was in the books. Now then, the curriculum is being pushed into the classroom by the unions, and a radical viewpoint that is in the unions. The local school boards have very little say-so in it, and so our kids are being indoctrinated. They're being taught that socialism is the moral equivalent of capitalism, and that is an absolute falsehood. They're being taught that America is bad, not good. They're being taught that there's no defined man, woman. Science is willing to dispute that all day long, so they keep talking about the science, but they're not willing to listen to science as far as the gender. There's no scientific evidence of 50 genders or 30 or 5, and yet that's what our schools are teaching, so a great amount of confusion coming. But that's because our education system now is controlled nationally, and a few people can affect it in very serious ways. The same thing will happen to our elections. And the House bill that has already passed in Congress in Washington would change and make our elections national and not local. That's going to be very, very destructive to us. The second part of your question is equally valid and equally important, and that is feeling good about the elections. The Albuquerque Journal about a month and a half ago had an article and that was critical of the Republican Party, myself, and those who supported Trump. But they also had a phrase in the middle of it that Steve Pierce is still out talking about election anomalies. So last Friday, I had set up and then requested an interview with that editorial board. And we went in, and I said, I really only want to discuss two words. This is election anomalies. And I said, you kind of used the term dismissively. And I want to go through with you the things that we saw, which we're still asking questions about. And so we patiently went through example after example, the affidavits, the people who were there who were being kept from doing their job as challengers, the antagonism between some of the county clerks and the challengers, the poll watchers, just outright breaking of the law and omitting our challengers from watching them certify the absentee ballots. And the certification is the only process in the absentee ballots that matters. You have to decide if this is really a ballot from the voter that it claims to be. And so we were kicked out of that process. We have no knowledge in those counties where we were removed for no cause. That we have no idea how many ballots they floated into the system. So the first thing is to make sure that the press understands the gravity of the situation, to understand the importance of the election, and to know how many people like you are out here asking, is there really a fair election? We should have been allowed to ask many questions that judges wouldn't even consider. And until the press starts weighing in on it, until the public starts weighing in on it, I have a suspicion that our elections are still going to have a lot of questions to them, and it undermines the confidence that we the people have that this nation is being allowed to vote the way that the people want. I think that most voters, Democrat, Republican, and Independent, really do. They don't really exactly care who wins. They just want it to be a fair election and a good representation of the viewpoint. But if the elections are skewed, and let's say that in a primary, Democratic primary, that it's skewed toward the progressives, and things are happening which would eliminate the conservative Democrats, suddenly you've got an entire group of the population that has no voice. And that's not productive. It's not, it doesn't build confidence in our self-government system. So your question is right on point. And it's the biggest issue nationally, for both parties, but I'm talking about the people on the streets, Democrats on the streets, Republicans on the street. They all worry about outside meddling. They all worry about, internal corruption. And so I think that we owe it to ourselves to clean up the election process and answer the questions from both sides. And so that is just a key piece of what we're trying to do. So nationally for the Republican Party, it is the number one issue. And for us in New Mexico as the Republican Party, it's our number one issue. So we're working to improve it. And keep in mind, improvement can occur. Florida in 2000, that was the hanging chad. Remember the just tremendous battle over is this really a hole punched in the paper or is it not? And so that whole discussion disrupted and caused a great amount of angst on both sides. And so this last year, since 2000, Florida began to clean its process up, both parties working together. This last year, Florida had all of its millions of votes counted by midnight. There was no question on either side. It was clean. It was well done and orderly. Such a contrast to those other states that were shutting down, counting for days. No confidence in those votes at all from either side. So, again, your question is well placed and the most important question we face.
Yes. Congressman Steve Pierce, the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, is on the phone with us this afternoon. He's got a lot to tell us this afternoon. We're going to talk about the appointment, and now Deb Haaland, our former congresswoman, is recently elected congresswoman, has now been sworn in as our new Interior Secretary, and that office will be open here in New Mexico. So we have a lot to talk to Steve Pierce about. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. We do things differently over here on the affordable side of Albuquerque. We give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part, every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and complimentary maintenance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Serving you and your family day and night. Call Bosky when you want it done right. For heating and cooling, plumbing and more. 24/7 we'll be at your door.
Locally grown, locally owned. Bosky Heating and Cooling. A portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air.
The aftermath of 2020 has left so many of us wrestling with questions about the future and wondering, what's next? Here's Skip Heitzig.
That's a question, by the way, that people ask anytime there is a catastrophe, any kind of catastrophic event causes people to ask the question, what's next? If there's a car accident that happens, well, what's next? Am I going to be able to walk after this? If a disease strikes someone, what's next? Am I going to be cured? If somebody we love dies, we ask, what's next? Am I going to be able to go on?
We want to help you live with confidence, no matter what the future holds, by sending you a powerful collection of Easter weekend messages from Skip Heitzig on the hope of the resurrection.
Anything's possible. If the one who said he's going to die and rise again died and rose again, that means all of the promises Jesus ever made are possible and can come true. That's why it's called The Living Hope.
The Morning That Changed Everything with Skip Heitzig is a DVD collection of 6 life-changing Easter messages. And it's our thanks for your gift of $35 or more today to help connect more people to the living hope of Jesus Christ. To give online securely, visit connectwithskip.com/offer or call 800-922-1888.
Since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi, friends. John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept. And there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT. You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you are shopping for your mortgage loan, maybe refinance or purchasing a new home. The team at Indigo Mortgage will give you a clear and concise loan estimate. They will explain how you can reduce your fees while getting the best interest rate possible. Call 836-5700 or reach them on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. Congressman Steve Pierce, chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, is working hard on behalf of everybody here in New Mexico. One more day left in the 60-day legislative session, ends tomorrow at noon. Anything good coming out of that legislative session, Senator? Or Congressman, I'm sorry?
Well, anything that is good gets kind of overwhelmed and overshadowed by the things that are not good. The attack on our gun rights, people are really worried about that. The attempt to remove immunity from police for doing their job is something that worries the entire system. That is, if someone brings a lawsuit, they can sue the individuals personally. Now, as a police officer, I think that's the last thing that you want to be worried about is being sued for doing a job. And so those bills are egregious. The potential of raising taxes for the third year in a row, that's always looming its head. What to do to make sure that the oil and gas industry is supported in the state where it's 40% of the pay, that's a huge issue. The governor keeps touting that the recreational marijuana is going to be the silver bullet that pays for that. Absolutely impossible for marijuana to pay for the anywhere from $1.5 billion shortfall that is going to come if they continue to attack oil and gas. Oil and gas right now pays about $3 billion into the state fund. And so anything they do to destroy that industry is going to be impossible to fix. So that's a problem. They're also talking about removing the ability of people to challenge the elections in any capacity. Right now, the Inspection of Public Records Act, the IPRA, is a valuable way to go and say, okay, we'd like information from this election or that one. And the last I heard, it was completely out of the bill. So individuals would not have the capability to even ask questions about an election. They also are trying to make it more obscure for the people who are voting absentee. They want to limit our challengers. Some of the county clerks don't even want them in their offices. The challengers are there to make sure that both parties are satisfied that the job is being done correctly. It's something that is a part of the American election process, and to have them removed is just egregious and smacks of the party, the one party that's in rule, wanting to protect its ability to win elections. And I tell people, you know, one party rule, which is what New Mexico is facing, is that's what they have in Venezuela. If you want what Venezuela has, just keep up this process of limiting the minority party, no matter which one it is. And then finally, the redistricting, the Speaker of the House, Brian Egoff, touted that when he got through with redistricting, that no Republican would ever win any of the congressional seats. That's a process called gerrymandering, where they rigged the scales in favor of one party. And again, that is going to be destructive to New Mexico's future, not to have a minority voice either in Washington or here in the legislature. So a lot of damaging things coming out of this session.
And one of the first things that happened in the session this time was some pretty, we will say, devastating reports on right-to-life issues. You know, in the church, we want to support the preborn. We want to support our elders. We want to take care of them and give them the best care possible. And we just kind of feel like there's a whole movement to take away what we feel is God's decision about whether someone has life or death. And it's now in the hands of the party in power.
The attack on the life issue was just horrendous. We've spoken about that constantly. It was the Lee County Right to Life chapter that sent those exact replicas, the models of the 12-week-old infant, the unborn infant, to the legislators. Every single legislator, the governor got them. And one of the senators, Jacob Candelaria from Albuquerque, just screamed on the Senate floor that I got that thing and I threw it right in the trash. I just threw it away because it was offensive. That then prompted me to put an editorial in the Albuquerque Journal and other papers across the state saying, if you found just the image offensive, the fact that at 12 weeks, the unborn infant has all of its fingers, toes, it's got a heartbeat, the facial features are beginning to show up. If you find that offensive, then you might ought to be thinking about what you're doing to that unborn child. And so we, I think, really have weighed in heavily on the issue. New Mexico is already the late-term abortion capital of the country. While New Mexico had shut its medical system down and every bed reserved for COVID, New Mexicans were having to drive to Texas to get their health care. But in a very ironic twist is that the abortion clinics were allowed to be open in New Mexico, described as essential. So girls from other states were coming into New Mexico to get their abortions using the Medicaid money for New Mexico patients, just people who need regular health care. That those abortions were being paid for with those Medicaid dollars. They were coming from out of state. So I tell people, New Mexicans were having to go to other states for health care, and young girls were coming here to have their abortions. And that just tells you the state of New Mexico today.
Congressman, why do you think that people that are civil rights activists don't recognize the preborn as literally a population that can't defend itself?
Yeah, they are simply driven by the politics of the situation. Planned Parenthood is one of the biggest donors to the Democrat Party nationwide. They very, very, very seldomly give to Republicans. And so what the Democrats are doing is they're saying, no matter what my values are, social justice will be set on the side because these are big donors. And it's surely a money game in this regard. It's unthinkable that people would simply turn away from the voice of the most fragile. Any government is measured by how it speaks for the most fragile in its society. There is certainly no group more fragile than the unborn. They have no voice at all. And so the inappropriateness of those policies are going to be a problem for New Mexico for a very long period of time.
Congressman, where are we as a state in compared to other states in terms of the recovery?
Well, we're very far behind. I always compare us to North, to South Dakota. Christy Noem is a friend of mine. She's governor there. She never closed one school. She never closed a business. She never had a mask mandate. Their infection rate is when you go on the CDC webpage, and I do that every other week or so, their infection rate is just about the same as ours. The mortality rate is about the same as ours. And so you get that example that, that New Mexico shut down, killed jobs, kept their kids out of school for a year, and it didn't have to be that way because, the South Dakota is not suffering. In fact, their economy is booming. New Mexico has record unemployment, and South Dakota has some of the lowest unemployment in the nation. They also have suffered less in pay decreases and things during the slowdowns, that they saw as little decrease as any state in the nation. But then you look at Florida. Again, their state is booming. Texas, people are flooding into Texas. They're just, the housing market in the Dallas-Fort Worth area is as hot as anywhere in the country. People are just jamming in there. So real estate prices flying through the roof there because of the demand. People are looking for freedom. They're looking for opportunity. They're looking for prosperity, and they're not going to find it in the Democrat states.
You know, it's baffling to me how these kinds of things have come to the point where they are, but I want to ask you now about the media and their perception. I'm not going to mention the anchor person, but I am going to mention the station. KOB-TV two nights ago had a reporter that came on the air right before a break and teased the break and said, the cannabis bill, and I'm paraphrasing, is about to be killed. It's a bill that will provide millions of dollars in revenue to the state of New Mexico. And I thought to myself, do they not even understand? Is there no reporting done anymore where people actually do research and find out that the offsets are just not going to make it profitable for New Mexico to be in the cannabis business?
Yeah, it's, again, it's a matter of the talking points that are distributed by the left. If you want to really know what's going on, if you want to be in New Mexico and know what's going on in Colorado, just drive up to Raton and talk to those people there, the business people, the community, about the problems that come flooding across the border there. They're the most northerly community in New Mexico on the border. And so talk to them about the problems they see. And that's basically, Raton is a pretty staunch Democrat area, so it's not like they're taking the Republican viewpoint. It instead reflects the reality. New Mexico is going to be devastated if we do pass this cannabis bill. There would be, in my opinion, very, very little net income into the state. When you start paying the social costs, when you start paying for the loss of productivity, when businesses start finding that they can't hire good labor, you're going to have a problem that you can't deal with in one generation. Getting these things passed is one thing. Getting them unpassed is very difficult. And so what do we as a state tell the single mom who's out there working one or two jobs, trying to make ends meet, see that her kids grow up correctly, that they go to school, that she takes them to church on Sunday? What do you tell that young single mom when her kids tell her, no, the state says it's okay, we're going to go ahead and do this? It's just very, very unfriendly to the family. And I sit here and realize that one of the reasons this is going to pass is that a lot of the people supporting it are going to get very rich. Nationally, it's estimated that John Boehner, who's the Republican who I served with in Congress, he was the Speaker of the House when I was there, he has suddenly become one of the national spokesmen, and it looks like that he's on tap to get something in the $20 million range when this passes nationally. Well, you can do the same sort of a math that the some people in New Mexico are going to get very wealthy off this, and so you start following the money to realize why that you have lobbyists working the issue so hard and putting out this information that TV stations would pick up and air and say, oh, it's going to bring hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue. What it's going to bring is more more difficulty for the state to function in as a functioning state government.
Yeah. As much as anybody in the state, Congressman Steve Pierce, chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, understands the oil and gas business. When we come back, we're going to talk about Deb Haaland, her appointment as Interior Secretary, and we're going to talk about the oil and gas production, fighting against some of the policies already passed by the Biden administration. We'll be back after these messages. Stay with us.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8585.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. Have you ever wondered why people dread buying a new car? Maybe it's because of the way they were treated in the past. Maybe they were disrespected, or maybe they were even lied to. Well, none of us can change the past, but at Power Ford, we can help you write the future. We're a different type of dealership, so you have a different type of experience. We believe in doing the right thing, building trust, and leading with our values. Faith, family, and then Ford. We're here to help. Just ask. Find your ride at MyPowerFord.com.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. In the automotive industry, the most catastrophic failures we see is when people ignore the precious fluids which keep their car running, which are oil and antifreeze. And likewise, the most catastrophic failure I've ever seen in a person's life is when they ignore that precious fluid that Jesus poured out on the cross for them, His blood, which is guaranteed to keep them running eternally. At Southern Boulevard Automotive, we are here to maintain your car, truck, or SUV and repair it right the first time when the time comes for repair. We are located at 2300 Southern Boulevard in Rio Rancho, across from McDonald's, on the corner of Southern and Western Hills. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Think about it. When your engine is running and the oil pours out on the ground and you ignore it, it's pretty much over. But with Jesus, when He poured out His blood, it was just the beginning. This is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Holly and Dave Slade and their team at Dave Slade and Associates Realtors are sponsors of the programming on KNKT and our show, ABQ Connect. Call Holly or Dave at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade and Associates, doing business by the book, 342-8100, or reach them on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. Steve Pierce, the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, is on the phone with us. And let's get in now to what is the most paradoxical situation I've ever seen, Congressman. You have a lot of experience in the oil and gas industry, and with the Biden administration initiatives that have been recently, those were the first thing he signed on his desk, to limit exploration on federal lands. That's going to really affect New Mexico in a difficult way.
It's going to affect us in a very destructive way. The first thing he did was stop the Keystone Pipeline. That's going to hurt New Mexico consumers. The reason the pipeline was so important was that oil coming from Canada could come through rail cars, which it is right now, or it could come through pipeline. It's already coming here. But Warren Buffett owns the railroads, and he's making 40 times what the pipeline would transport it for. So every drop of oil that comes in from Canada, we're paying 40 times for that transportation than we would if it were coming by pipeline. That means consumers in New Mexico are paying more. So the second thing he did was to limit the permits. Anytime you drill on federal land, it requires a permit. And so he said, we're going to stop the permits, have a moratorium on those. That means that the drilling rigs that are here drilling for oil in New Mexico are going to scoot across into Texas. They can get the same oil in Texas, but we have a little bit better quality of oil and a little bit more quantity, but not enough to offset these regulatory changes. And so the day that he announced that, we had one company move 4 rigs that day across into Texas saying, hey, we're just not going to invest in New Mexico. So that's taking jobs away from us. but it's also making us more dependent on foreign oil. So that permitting process is just very key to production in New Mexico. And keep in mind, when we're talking about federal lands, that New Mexico, Colorado, Wyoming, those states that kind of line up with us, and to the west of us, the 11 western states that came in later into the Union, they came in under Teddy Roosevelt or even after Teddy Roosevelt. Now, he's the one that began to hold large swaths of public land for the federal government. Before then, all the federal government land was handed back over to the states, so Texas doesn't have to worry about it, Oklahoma doesn't. As you go north from Texas, those states don't have to worry about it, and so it's only us 11 western states that get affected by these kind of questions. So that permit question, they can move across to Texas and not have to worry about this issue at all. The third thing that he did that was very destructive was to limit the lease sales. A couple of years ago, one lease sale brought in $1 billion. It was the biggest sale ever. That sale was more than all the other sales nationally the year before. That sale occurred in New Mexico. So New Mexico got $450 or just under $500 million out of that one sale. And so when you start saying we're not going to sell any more leases, you're talking about taking hundreds of millions of dollars away. So just compare that. Compare that to the whole marijuana discussion, and we're going to bring tens of millions of dollars. One sale of leases in New Mexico brought $480 or $90 million. How are you going to replace that with selling marijuana on the streets? It just has never made any sense. It doesn't make economic sense. It doesn't make social sense. And yet these are the issues that Biden put into place with a stroke of the pen. He knew he couldn't get these through Congress, so he just did executive orders to make them happen. Now then, when you look at Deb Haaland, Congresswoman Haaland being confirmed as the Secretary of the Interior, she has said that she opposes all oil and gas drilling on public lands. She opposes fracking on public lands. That's 50% of the production in New Mexico. So we provide about 40% of every tax dollar that comes into Santa Fe. Now you're going to limit that at least by half, but frankly, it'll be more than that, because companies that aren't able to explore on federal lands are just not going to be exploring on the state lands either. They're just going to pull up and move to another state. And so I think you're going to see even more than the 50% decline because of the federal lands issues. But Deb Haaland says that we shouldn't be drilling on federal lands. She really doesn't like the oil and gas industry at all. And she's never explained how she would replace the revenues to New Mexico. How is she going to replace that 40% of the teacher's paycheck? How is she going to replace the 40% of the state patrolman's paycheck? These are just the beginning. 40% of all of the state programs come from oil and gas. So this hostility of the Biden administration to our energy industry, the hostility of the incoming secretary, is well established toward that industry. And so I think New Mexico has got a very tough 4 years ahead of us.
Well, you mentioned in our first segment that New Mexico is getting a check, I believe the number's $9 billion from the federal government as part of the stimulus monies distributed to our state. And, of course, that's bigger than the budget that was just approved of, I believe, $7.4 billion. And of course that doesn't include the pass-throughs and things that come, from the federal government. But nevertheless, I think they've got this big check and they think everything's balancing for right now, so they're not worried about the next 3 years.
Yeah, that's the deal, is that they are going to, again, tax taxpayers more money, in order to send these checks to the state. It covers up the problem for 3 or 4 years. And then a future administration will inherit the whirlwind. They're planting the wind right now. They're going to inherit the whirlwind, and they're just hoping nobody will remember this. But the voters actually are pretty astute. They remember through 3 or 4 years what has gone on and why we're in the shape we're in. So this big block of money coming to New Mexico, keep in mind that it is more than our budget. But also, to take that money, you have to agree that you will not lower taxes to your people. So we're going to have this big pot of money coming in, but it's not going to benefit the people of the state at all. They may make some small checks to individuals, but a lot of it's going to go to bail out the pension systems here in New Mexico. They're deeply in debt. They're paying out more than they can justify paying out. So a lot of that money, it's estimated that the pension systems in New Mexico are $5 billion underwater because they're paying out more than is justified by economics to people who are retiring from the state and local governments. And so it's going to continue that bad practice, and it's the taxpayer who generally has no retirement at all. They're able to save a little bit, and they'll live on Social Security and their limited savings. Meanwhile, people who are making $150,000 right now working for the state government are probably going to be retiring in the $100,000 to $120,000 range. And so the normal worker is going to be eking by, and you're going to be giving extraordinarily high incomes to retirees. So that's where that money is going to go when it comes in here.
Congressman, I understand that limiting leasing on federal lands has already happened. You already mentioned the executive orders that our incumbent president has put forth in the first few days of his administration. What about tribal lands? Are they affected the same way, and oil and gas production on tribal lands?
They are, and that's one of the reasons that some of the Native Americans deeply opposed Representative Holland's confirmation, because they know it's going to be destructive to jobs on their reservation. So I think it's the Ute tribe that has raised a big question about the policies and the damage that it's going to do on the reservations.
Well, we've got one more segment with you, Congressman. You are so generous to give us an hour today. But when we come back, we're going to talk about education. And New Mexico continues to be at the bottom of the good list, education. We'll be right back with Congressman Steve Pierce right after these messages.
Hi, this is Adam Holtz, and you're listening to Plugged In.
Wednesdays are like fun, and Mom and Dad are like fun killers.
We are plenty fun.
In the new Netflix movie Yes Day, Allison Torres wonders how she became the mean parent who always says no. She used to be the fun one, but these days her kids are comparing her to world dictators. Then Allison learns about the concept of a yes day, 24 hours when everyone gets a positive reply to every request. This fun, lighthearted pick reminds us that parenting can be hard work, a job that requires a loving balance between saying yes and no. And other than a dash of bathroom humor, you won't have to worry about saying oh no between fistfuls of popcorn. So we're giving Yes Day a 4 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Adam Holtz for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we're all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Groeschel.
We're going to lead up by serving up. We're going to influence those above us, starting with a serving attitude. If you want to influence, care about people, love them, help them improve. Why? Because people will follow a leader with a heart faster than a leader with a title. Let me say it again. People will follow a leader with a heart faster than a leader with a title. You do not need a title in order to lead. Let's just acknowledge that leading up can be a little risky, okay? If you lead up in the wrong way, it can cost you. With a rebellious attitude, you can be labeled as a troublemaker. You might have, they think you have a critical spirit or whatever. And let's just go ahead and call it what it is. If you serve under an insecure leader, a stubborn leader, or an overly confident leader, leading up can be very, very tricky.
That was Craig Groeschel on a KNKT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
A water crisis has been building in South Asia for decades. This is due primarily to the population being so massive, over 1.3 billion. the population has outgrown their supply of water. Sadly, this has caused a range of waterborne health problems for millions, while also severely impacting local agriculture, as farmers don't have enough water to grow crops. The COVID crisis only made the situation more dire as it swept through the crowded cities with deadly efficiency. The good news is that solutions to all of these problems are available. Through the month of March, you can give a gift of a Jesus well with KMKT. These wells cost an average of about $1,400 and can provide clean water to an entire village of 300 people. You can make a gift of any amount to contribute to one of these wells. Visit KMKT.com and click on the Gospel for Asia banner to make your gift, or call Gospel for Asia at 877-884-2276. Now more than ever, the people of Asia need good, clean water. Congressman Steve Pierce on the phone with us. Congressman, so generous to be with us, and I know you're extremely busy. Any surprises in the legislature so far this session?
Well, they pretty well forecast everything they're going to do. If you recall, the eight Democrat conservative senators that helped defeat that egregious abortion bill, they were targeted in this last election by the progressives and the Democrat Party. They were defeated in most cases, and so they forecast that they are going to bring that bill back and pass it. They did. They forecast they're going to start controlling guns and violate our Second Amendment. They're doing that. They promised that they're going to make the elections even harder for the minority party to supervise. They're in the process of that. It's been pretty much true to form to what they said. The redistricting, we will not see the effect of that just in the near future, because frankly the census is not completed. That census report was supposed to be delivered in December. It has yet to be delivered. It's looking like sometime in April that it's going to be coming. After that, that census report, then there is a reapportioning process nationally where they move House seats from one state to the next based on the movement of the population. And then after those two steps, the census report, reapportionment, then the third thing is redistricting. So it could be middle of the summer to September before we actually see the actual redistricting take place. Again, the Speaker of the House promised that after Yvette Harrell won that that race last year, that he was going to rig it to where no Republican would ever win in New Mexico. And that's just a very unproductive position for any leader in any party to be taking.
As people listen to what you're saying and think, boy, this is not the way it should be, what can we do? Is contacting our representatives, both at the state and federal level, is that helpful?
Well, it's far more complex than that. If you take a look at the facts before you, that the Right to Life chapter sent those small exact replicas of unborn babies to the legislators. And they simply threw them away. They didn't want to be, they said they were offensive, that they were, that somehow tyranny or, I mean, terrorism and, just words like that. So that's the thing you face. The most important thing to do is elect people who share your values. So I urge Christians, and Christians do not get much involved in the election process. We vote in very small numbers. So voting is very key, but also helping volunteer. Running for office. That's how I got involved. David Barton came to our congregation and said, hey, this is back in the early 90s. He said, if you wonder why the country's in the shape it's in, it's because people like you all don't run for office. And I began to pray about it at that point and prayed for years and then finally felt like, yes, I've got to step up and run for office. And so I just urge people to get involved, to volunteer, to run for office. Just get in. It's not as difficult as it sounds and is a absolute way of serving.
Yes. Congressman, this is an oversimplification of a big, big question. Why are we last in education in the United States?
Well, again, it's because of the union control of the education system in New Mexico. They control a lot of the states. But they don't control it as completely as they do here. When I was in the state legislature, we would get these these questionnaires from organizations, seeing where we were on issues. And I can remember to this day the one that came from the union, education unions. It had maybe 70 or 80 questions, all but two of those dealt with pay, benefits, and everything else, which I don't mind people asking that. But it just seems like you ought to be asking about the education and more than two questions out of that whole survey. But it tells you where the mindset is. We have a breakdown in the schools desiring much input from the parents. If you want to know where your education of your particular kid is going to go, take a look at the involvement of the parents. Yet the PTA, the Parent Teacher Association, that's almost a thing of the past, and teachers, the unions don't really want much input from the teachers. Discipline in the classroom is another reason that we're very last in education. When I went to the legislature, my first bill I introduced was, there was a kid in a classroom in Hobbs who began to curse the teacher, then eventually picked up a desk and threw it and hit the teacher. Just a total assault. The teacher carried the student to the principal's office, and the student beat the teacher back. This idea that we've got to keep kids in the classroom in order to get the monetary compensation from the state for teaching that kid is something that's upside down. So discipline in the classroom is a very big problem. Also, the applicability of the education. About half the kids are not going to go to college, and then another percent of those who do go to college are not going to finish. They're not driven towards things with collegiate degrees as requirements. They are driven to work with their hands, to do more manual labor. And yet those kids have almost no opportunity. So they get into the schools, they lose interest. They know that it's not anything that benefits them. So, one of the things that we could do to really help bring attention into the schools is to have some sort of an apprenticeship program, some sort of a job training program. If kids knew that they were able to get the training required to have a job, say as a plumber or electrician when they graduate from high school, I think you would start finding a lot of attention paid, but many of the kids just don't see the educational value for themselves. So those are some of the great problems that I noticed. You notice that I did not put on there that pay. Teachers were the ones who say that pay is not the problem. It is that the love of teaching is being driven out of our teachers. And so if you're going to look at one solution, you're going to have to find out how to reestablish that love of education, the love of learning from the kids, the love of teaching to our teachers. Teacher after teacher told me that they hated their job. The last figures I saw 2 years ago, that the schools which typically graduate all of our teachers were only turning out one in two teachers because nobody's majoring in it. That's because the teachers themselves are telling kids, don't go into education or you're going to end up exactly where I am. So don't go into that. And kids listen to that, and so they don't major in education. So Eastern New Mexico, Western New Mexico, those are generally sources of a lot of our teachers. And yet the last 2 years ago when I checked last, they graduated maybe one or two teachers total for the school. And you just can't, you're not going to keep teachers in the profession when they don't feel like they can do their job. So, again, let teachers do their job. I believe they're trained. I believe they have the love for teaching. But let them teach. Instead, the unions control so much of the curriculum, so much of the activities that teachers end up just hating the process. So let them establish discipline in their classrooms. I think you're going to find a lot better environment for our teachers to succeed in.
Literally every topic we've talked about today is an hour show. So I apologize that I'm kind of going through a menu of different things, but I wanted to try to ask you as many things as I could. We've got about 5 minutes left, and there's three left on my list that I think are really critical. The next one is, how are things at the border right now?
They're out of control. It's absolute chaos.
And is there anything that can be done?
There's a lot that can be done. The border was as controlled as I ever have seen it under President Trump. He was building the wall, but more than that, he was coordinating with the foreign countries to say, don't send people up here. Number one, your nation can't survive if you let the most innovative, if you let the most educated ones come here, which is what's happening. So you end up with those people that don't have the initiative to make a country work. But he was also saying, if you got people who are worried about asylum and they're being persecuted, then we'll ask those questions with them in your country. So doing that, securing the border, not giving the message that we're going to let you in.
Yes.
So President Biden has been weekly saying in the last couple of days, oh, don't come here. But people know that's just a weak comment. They know that they're going to get to stay. The cartels are advertising very much that you get to stay. So reestablishing the policies that Trump had in place will make the border safer and stop these tremendous encroachments into our country from people who are coming here without documentation.
Do I understand correctly that House Bill 114, allowing felons to vote, has now passed? So we're going to let felons start voting in our elections.
Well, felons have had the right to vote for some time once they pay their penalty. Most states allow it, but this is going to allow them to vote while they're still serving their time. And so so that's been a longstanding goal of the left. It's offensive to those people who follow the law, who realize that people who break the law give up one of the most sacred rights, that's the right to vote. The left has long set that out as their goal.
Yes. I understand this weekend there's the Operation Freedom event happening in various communities around the state. It's all about ending the lockdown. Can you tell us about that?
Well, the Operation Freedom has two elements. One is that effort this weekend to get the state back open and have voices start coming from the people. But we also have an Operation Freedom where the Republican Party is going to do its big planning session and its big Lincoln Day dinner. We're going to actually go to Amarillo because the state's not open enough to have group gatherings here. So we're going to just form caravans, go to Amarillo for 3 days, May 14, 15, and 16. We're going to lay out the plans for the Republican Party for the next 2 years. Christy Noem is coming to speak to that. Then also Jim Jordan is going. Christy will speak on Friday night, Jim Jordan on Saturday night. So looking like we're going to have a big event over there. And so that's the second aspect of Operation Freedom. But we need to open the state up, but we also need as Republicans to figure out how we can win the state, turn it red, and then start finding our freedoms, our freedom of religion, freedom of speech, our freedom to hold our private property, finding some level of prosperity, lower taxes. All of those things are elements that would tell people that having Republican control of the state is absolutely necessary at this time.
Congressman, thank you so much for joining us today on ABQ Connect. Our community will be praying for you and your leadership, the leadership in our legislature, our leadership in Washington, and we appreciate your service very much.
Thank you very much, Jim. Always nice talking to you. Keep up the great work.
Bye-bye.
Presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.